man's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty love that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden took my liberty at Calvary.
If you would remain standing, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Brian, would you take us, Lord, tonight? Church, would you sing this with me? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. How about He answers prayer? Do you believe it tonight? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. How about you believe He's coming soon? He's coming soon. Sing that first chorus again now. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so stand and sing that song, says, I am redeemed. love now abides, and where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free.
I mentioned this morning that the children's home and, of course, just our youth in general, everyone is, they're all going off to go skiing, and I know Brother Brian is going to have devotions there as well, you know, there could be some that get saved up there. There could definitely be some that are already saved, that could be encouraged up there. Just a great time together. And what I want is for our youth, all those that are going, if you would, just come on down just for a moment. We're not going to embarrass you that much. Just come on down for just a moment. Those who are going, and we just want to pray for your protection. And we want to pray for the Lord's will to be done and all those great things. I wanted to do it in the beginning of the service, and not necessarily at the end of the service, and trying to confuse the devil a little bit tonight, since he don't know everything. But I want Brother Ceylon to come around. I want him to do the prayer, if he would.
Let me encourage you to do this. You pray. Don't just listen to me. Look at these. Isn't this something?
Amen.
I'm so proud of our young people. These guys love the Lord, and I appreciate that about young people. You don't see that much anymore.
No, you don't.
And I'm proud of these guys, and I thank the Lord for them. And I'm praying that they will, not just now, but I'm praying for this week, that they'll have a great trip, a safe trip, and that they will come back and they will be ready to tell us about something that happened to them on this trip. Looking forward to that. Now let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have in this church to have a group of young people of this caliber. Lord, I pray for them for this trip that they're going on, that it will not just be a meaningful trip for fun, for having a good time, and we want that for them, but we're praying that the leaders that go with them, that they will be able to have something to bring back spiritually, not just the fun, but that God would, that you would touch them spiritually on this trip. Be with the leaders as they lead these people.
Yes.
Father, we ask you for their safety. We ask you that you would give them a good time, something they can enjoy and have a good time. Father, we just, again, thank you for this group. We ask you, your blessings on them, Father, and especially for the leaders.
Yes.
Have your way. All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Ceylon. I'd like to have a man come up here and pray that's been praying for many years. And Brother Ceylon, walking with the Lord for so many years. Appreciate him. Chairman of our deacons. Anyway, appreciate that. 6 a.m. Tuesday morning, they'll be rolling out. And so, just remember them again in your prayers. And thankful for our leaders who invest in their lives. What a blessing. Well, we had a great deacons meeting, and I hope there was a great CLU meeting. And I'm sure there was. And so, it's been a full day, been a good day, and we appreciate everything that's been done today. All right, make your way to the book of Job, chapter number 1, for a moment tonight. Thank you, Brother David Henderson, for this cold glass of water this evening. Much obliged, or much appreciated. Back when we had our snow day, that was on a Sunday, we held service in our home that morning. And I shared a message with those who watched. And I'm sure there are some that, through circumstances, could not watch. And of that particular service that we had, that message, but I've had the same message on my heart for some time, ever since our snow day that we had. In fact, it was January 16th, was that the Snowmageddon came, and snowpocalypse. And I think we had some flurries, a little bit more than that. But anyway, wanted to lean heavy on the safe side. But we mentioned some things that morning concerning some things that we have in Jesus, some things that we have as believers, just a topical message that we shared. Again, it's been on my heart since then. It's still in here. And so I've learned through my preaching experience, if something's still in there, then it needs to get out fully. So tonight, for a few moments, that's going to be our topic, is things we have as believers. And I want to visit some places, four places in God's Word, mentioning some things that we have. Some things that we have. Most likely I won't be an hour tonight. I was this morning. Very rarely do I preach an hour, but I say that and I might, so I'm just going to be quiet and preach. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you for all things, Lord. We pray, Lord, again, that you'd gird up the loins of our mind. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would communicate the truths of your word, the things we've pondered, the things that we know in this sermon, Lord. Apply them to the hearts of your people. Let us be encouraged by the time we leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
book of Job, chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, we know there was a conversation between the Lord and the devil, and the devil was walking about seeking whom he may devour. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." You know the story, as well as I know the story, that from this time forward, we know that the devil was granted permission to sift Job. He was granted permission to mess with Job. He was granted permission by the Lord to, as the Bible says, verse 11, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath." Well, the devil's speaking here, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." We know that God gave the devil permission to touch all that he hath. And we know the end result was that Job did not curse God. But I want to call your attention to something, verse number 10. Because in verse number 10, we see that Job had protection around him and all that he hath. Verse 10 says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side?" You see, the devil recognized that Job was protected. And because of that, Job could not get in there over that hedge, between the hedges. He could not get in there and frustrate the life of Job until he asked for permission. And so we see in Job's life that he had a hedge that was protecting him. And I want to say tonight that not only Job, but you and I as believers in our life, we too have a hedge of protection that is protecting us. Day in and day out, God only knows the things that could have happened to us, but that didn't happen to us because of this hedge that's in our life. The times that we get in our cars and we feel like we're running late to a meeting or an appointment, and we may be late, but who knows the reasons why we were late? Maybe it's because of that hedge of protection that God has in our life. Missed appointments, running late, things in our life that kind of frustrate us when we don't hit that mark. Maybe it could be this hedge of protection that God is protecting us from things. Now, the word hedge here in verse number 10, it means offense. Offense. Now, when it comes to being a parent, and if you have kids, then and you let your kids play in the yard, I know really back in the day that was more of a frequent thing. You would let your kids, your children, play in the yard. But in a lot of cases, parents would put up a fence in their yard. A fence in the front yard, a fence in the backyard, or at least one fence out of the 2 yards. And you see, the intention of this fence is for 2 things. To keep your children in and to keep things out. And so while your children are inside the fence, they were safe. They were safe from everything on the outside from getting in. Wild animals could not get in. People could not get in. Number one, the parents were watching, but number two, the safety of knowing they had a fenced-in yard where their children would be playing. Can I say, as a child of God tonight, God has placed us inside an invisible fenced-in yard. He is protecting us. Tonight we have a hedge of protection. And, you know, the only time you say, well, Brother Justin, I hear what you're saying, but there's been some catastrophes to happen in my life. There's been some things, some tragedies that happened in my life. How do you explain that? Well, the only thing that I can explain, and you may say, well, and some of it was even evil. Well, that goes back to the story of Job. Job could not get in between those hedges. He could not get over that hedge. He could not touch the life of Job, but first it must have been approved by God. And if God approves, if God allows something, some kind of catastrophe to happen in our life, if He allows something to happen that is almost evil on the surface, it's because He's using it to work something great in our life. Although we may not be able to see it, although we may not even agree with what has happened, but somewhere in the process, God had a plan and He allowed the hedge to come down. I was watching recently on Shark Tank. I love watching Shark Tank. I have watched the entire life of the show. So much it bores Christy and Lily to death. They say, you can watch that when we go to bed. Okay? There was a certain family that appeared on that show. And the dad was a fireman in New York. And he made some cutting board when you cut up your vegetables and fruit, what have you. And on the end of that cutting board, there was like a little gutter type thing that locks in these little canals on the cutting board. So that when you're cutting stuff, the juices will flow through the canals and get, you know, catch in the gutter that he had made that locked in there. And it was a great product. They loved it. Well, number one, just after the show, they lost their mother. There was, I think, three kids, teenage kids, young adults. After the taping of that specific episode, they lost their mother or thereabouts. And then to go a step further, their dad died, the one that actually aired on Shark Tank with them. What had happened was he was one of those who went into the Twin Towers to try to save some people in the smoke inhalation and all of that, disturbed his lungs, caught up with them, and then it eventually took his life. But the three kids appeared back on the show, and they're a Christian family. You can pick up on it, things they say, mentioning a God and a bigger plan and things like that. At least I picked up on it. Pretty sure they're a Christian family. But the kicker of the whole show was this, was that that product went on for the second time, and they got investors for that product, and they were making so much money. I mean, money was rolling in and rolling in and rolling in, so much that it would take care of those three kids from that particular time all through their life to adulthood, possibly even when they get their own families. Now listen, I'm not saying that that was the purpose and for their dad dying. Their dad died because he was a hero and the after effects of it. But God used something for good out of that situation and allowed that product that He designed to be used to feed and house and clothe His kids forever. And I know that's a silly little illustration. And listen, I don't know all the ins and outs of things spiritually. All I know is this, is that we have a hedge of protection around us. And there are times in my life and times in your life I know that things happen you can't explain. There are catastrophes and setbacks that you wish that never happened. But if we belong to Jesus, There is an ultimate reason why the Lord allows such things to happen. And so tonight we see that we have a hedge of protection. And that's a blessing to have as a believer. Now, number two, not only we have a hedge around us, but we have hands around us. A hedge around us, but we have hands around us. Turn to John chapter number 10 in verse 28, if you would. John 10, 28. I got to get there myself. Listen to this. John 10, 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We have tonight hands around us. And the Bible actually says in the singular form here, any man pluck them out of my hand. Tonight the believer has a great big godly hand around us. And that's a blessing. We are in the hands of Almighty God. And that's the best hands to be in of all time. The commercial Allstate Insurance. Anybody remember that? Allstate Insurance, the commercial. A lot of insurance commercials out there. But the Allstate Insurance commercial, it has a logo of a pair of great big old hands and a little family inside those hands. Great big old hands, little family inside those hands. In like manner, that's us tonight inside the hands of Almighty God. But they have a motto, don't they? Not only their logo is a pair of great big old hands with a family inside those hands, but their catchphrase is, you're in good hands with Allstate. Or great hands, either one. You're in great hands with Allstate. John 10, 28 says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God's hands are the best hands to be in. We are in His grip. There is no way we can get out. No sin, no failure, no setback. Not some unforeseen circumstance that comes into our life can get us out of the great and mighty hands of Almighty God. We are protected in His hands. Turn, if you would, for a moment to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. In verse number 12. Let's read a little bit about the hand of God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. Listen to this. Well, let's read verse 11 and 12. Isaiah 40, verse 11 and 12. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And here it is. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Talking about the hand of God. Now, he does mention the word span here. And meted out heaven with the span. The span of a hand here, the actual measurement is the part from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky is a span of a man's hand. And so basically the verse is talking about how that God has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. You say, Brother Justin, how is that encouraging to me? Well, I think about all of the oceans that surround us. And the Gulf of Mexico, the Atlantic Ocean, all of those oceans that, that surround us. I mean, I only named a couple. There's so many more oceans. And then what about the lakes? What about, there's Lake Lanier, Lake Allatoona, all of these, there's the Great Lakes up north. Then what about the streams, all of these waterways that flow and that trickle? The Bible says that He has basically within His hand measured and proportioned them out. He has laid the Gulf of Mexico over here, and He has laid the Atlantic Ocean over here. He has placed Allatoona Lake there. I know some of these are man-made, but God is the one who made man. And Lake Lanier over here, in a stream over here, and a little water trickle down through here through some woods, and laid this big old body of water here and there. Notice something else. He talks about heaven and meted out heaven with the span. Now, heaven, I believe here, he's talking about the atmosphere. He could also be mentioning the abode of God. But I believe here he's talking about the atmosphere. He's actually talking about the galaxies and stars, I believe here. And if that be the case, listen to this. To get from Earth to Mars, this is what I read, takes about 7 months to get from Earth to Mars. But then I read, how long does it take to get from Earth to Neptune? I was blown away. The site said that it takes about 12 years to get from Earth to Neptune. And so I got to thinking, 7 months to get from here to Mars. Okay, we're on Mars now. Here's Mars. And wherever Neptune is located, it's been a while since I've been in science class, so y'all forgive me. Can you imagine if it takes 12 years to get from here to Neptune? Just say you're on Mars. Then possibly it could take at least 12 years to get from Mars to Neptune. And there's several other planets that are, NASA actually says, that are billions of miles from each other, scattered out in the galaxy. Well, the scripture tells us that he measured all of that and put those in their place with the span of his hand. I'll put Mars here. I'll put this planet there. I'll put Neptune here. At least 12 years plus to get from Mars to Neptune, to get from Earth to Mars 7 months, to get from Earth to Neptune 12 years. Billions and billions of miles God has measured out in His hand and put those things in place. And you see, tonight the blessing of being born again is we're in His hand. We're in His hand. We are in His hand by salvation, and no man shall pluck us out of His hand. We are in a great and mighty hand tonight. We're in a hand that is protecting us and leading us and guiding and guiding us. And if the Lord has placed bodies of water where they are today, and if He has hung the stars, the moon, and the sky, and all of this with one hand, the Bible tells us that He will lead us with this hand, that He will guide us with this hand, that we are safe in His hand. Tonight, we really don't have anything to worry about, do we? Being in the hand of God. And so tonight, we have hands that are around us. We are in great hands with Jesus. So we read that there, and we have hands around us. John chapter number 10, verse 28, we just read. Let me mention something else. Turn to John 14, if you would. John 14, verse 16 through 18, we have a helper about us. A helper about us. Verse 16, John 14. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. We have a helper about us. We have a helper within us. When the Lord was here on earth, the disciples did not want him to go away. Think about this. For 3.5 years, the Lord walked with them and talked with them. Dined many times, and the Lord taught them many things, performed many miracles. And so the day came here in chapter number 14 as he starts out. The day came where Jesus was getting ready to go. He was going to fulfill his destiny for being here, to be betrayed in the garden and placed upon the cross, to be buried, to die and be buried and to rise again, and to ascend back to the Father. He was going to prepare a place for them. So they were sad, I'm sure. At least in the book of Acts, we know that on different occasions, there were those who were standing up looking into heaven. They were gazing. And the angel told them that the same Jesus will return. The same Jesus that went away will return to receive you unto himself. And we know also after the death of Jesus that there were those disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were walking with their heads down. They were sad because their Christ was gone. They struggled with the fact of him being raised from the dead. Those two disciples had no idea that Jesus kind of walked in on them. Jesus was in disguise, so to speak, I guess we could say. They didn't recognize him. So Jesus began to, starting at Moses and the prophets, expound the word of God, and their hearts did burn. But they were sad on the road to Emmaus. The other disciples were sad as they were gazing up into heaven. And no doubt this was a time where they needed help. They needed to come to terms with some things in their life. It was a sad day for them when Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven from which I came. Have you ever had a close friend or a relative move away from you? Someone that was dear to your heart, but they had to move, they had to relocate. That's a sad time. It leaves a person vulnerable. It leaves a person in a saddened state. And you see, Jesus knew exactly what the disciples were experiencing, and he knew exactly what they needed in that moment. They needed comforting words. They needed help. And so he tells them in verse number 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He knew what those disciples needed. They needed comfort. They needed comforting words. And so Jesus gives them these comforting words that I will not leave you comfortless.
His presence was with them. That was a comfort to them. And since he was going to be leaving, they needed comfort. And so he would give the Holy Spirit when he would ascend back into heaven in so many words. Tonight we have a helper about us. We have a helper in us, I should say. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He is our comforter. He knows what we need in the times that we need what we need. He knows every need we have. And he knows that there's times where we need comforting words. When possibly we've lost a loved one or sent one home to heaven. Or maybe we've lost a job and we need to know that God is sufficient for us, that he'll provide all of our needs. And so we go to the pages of God's Word. And the Holy Spirit lifts the Word from the pages to our heart. We experience illumination and our hearts are comforted because of the Holy Spirit and his words. We go to the cemetery. We know that's not the end. We know there's a brighter day, but we're experiencing pain during that time, pain during that moment. And we need a helper. We need comfort. And there is special comfort for the time of death for a loved one and their family. So we have a helper about us. What a comfort to know we have Jesus' Spirit with us and in us and for us each and every day to teach us, to guide us, to empower us, to watch over us, to help us. We have a helper about us. What a blessing the Holy Spirit is tonight. The third person in the Godhead. So we have a helper about us. We have hands around us. We have a hedge around us. But then lastly tonight, we have a hope above us. We know, we who know the Lord have heaven above us waiting on us. We have an inheritance. Peter talks a lot about it. We have Jesus. We have loved ones. We will have unending joy and delight. No more sickness in heaven. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more sin, setback, heartache, anxiety, suffering. None of that anymore. Heaven is our hope. Jesus is our hope. This is our hope above us. The Bible calls it, in fact, the Lord coming back for us, our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So tonight we can confidently say that we have a hope above us. Not a hope so, but a confident expectation that one day Jesus will come back for us. And when he does, we will be with him in heaven, reaping the benefits of a time and place when we bend a knee and call on the Lord for salvation. We have a hope above us. A helper about us. Hands around us. And we have a hedge around us. Just four things tonight that we have as believers. And I hope that it was a help and a blessing to you as we close out the day here at Calvary. Father, we love you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the truth of your word, not my words, but your words, Lord. My words fail so often, but your words, what your Bible says, Lord, I pray that we would embrace those words and lean on you and go into this work week, crossing the threshold from the house of God into a dark, cold, and dying world. Lord, I pray that you'd protect us. Lord, I pray that you'd use us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with our young people, be with our leaders, staff, Lord, as they go off skiing this week, Lord. Let them have just a grand and glorious time, a time of learning as well, learning the Word. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Meet with us during this moment of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.